Have you ever like stumbled upon a story that just kind of cuts through all the negativity and division and gives you, it's a little bit of hope? That's what I felt when I was looking into this report from Christian Culture News about this interfaith gathering in a pretty interesting spot called Ein Rafa.
Yeah, Ein Rafa's a fascinating place.
Yeah, it's in the West Bank, southwest of Jerusalem. And when you look at where it is on a map, you realize it's kind of a natural crossroads.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And for anyone listening out there, Ein Rafa being in that location makes it pretty easy for all these different religious groups to get there.
Right.
And so its history as like a meeting point, combined with there's a lot of Christians and Muslims living in the community, seems to have made this really special environment of just mutual respect.
Right.
And you can see it in the way they interact every day
Yeah.
and also in the way they celebrate things together.
Yeah.
So it's really like a model for coexistence, even with all the tension in that region.
Yeah, exactly. And so for our deep dive today, our mission is to break down this gathering for you. What were the main things they talked about? What outcomes did they come up with? And what can we learn from this about, fostering understanding in a world that often feels pretty divided?
Yeah, it's a big topic.
It is. That's a huge topic. And
Especially when you look at like the bigger picture, you
yeah.
know?
And the report even mentioned this Pew Research Center survey, which I thought this was pretty interesting. It said that 72% of people who have participated in interfaith dialogues said they ended up having more respect for different beliefs.
That's
Yeah,
huge.
that's a big shift in how people think.
It is. And you know what makes this particular gathering in Ein Rafa so interesting
Yeah.
is, the caliber of these religious leaders that were there. We're talking about Rabbi David Cohen, who's a really important voice of the Jewish community. He's really known for his work on social justice. Then there's Sheikh Ahmed Bilal, who's a well-respected Muslim cleric who's really dedicated to peace and unity.
Right.
You've also got Father Michael Smith from the Christian community, and he's got a ton of experience with something called ecumenical relations,
No, yeah.
which is basically like fostering unity and cooperation between different Christian denominations.
Yeah.
And then there's Sister Maria Elena, who's a powerful advocate for women's rights in the context of faith.
Wow, so these are not just like symbolic figures. These are people who are really invested in this work.
Exactly. They're the real deal.
Yeah, so with all these influential voices coming together, let's dig a little deeper. What were some of the big themes that kept popping up in their discussions?
Well, one of the main ones was about figuring out and then really building on those shared values across all these different faiths. What's really interesting is that they didn't just ignore the differences between them.
Right.
They actually went looking for that common ground. It's like recognizing that even though they have different rituals and beliefs,
Right.
there are these basic ethical principles that they all share. And these shared principles can become like a really strong foundation for having respect for each other
Right.
and for working together on things that will benefit society as a whole.
That's such an interesting point. Instead of getting hung up on their differences, they focused on those underlying connections. The report also touched on conflict resolution, which is obviously really important in that part of the world.
Of course. And, in their discussions, they explored how faith can be used as a really powerful tool for promoting peace,
Right.
both within communities and between them.
Yeah.
And they really looked at past conflicts, honestly, and acknowledged where religious interpretations might have made things worse.
Right.
But the main thing they focused on
Yeah.
was how those core religious teachings and principles
Yeah.
could be used to help people reconcile, sharing actual examples of successful reconciliation efforts from different faith traditions was a big part of this.
So basically, they were drawing on the wisdom within each tradition to find ways to peace. Another thing that really stood out to me was environmental stewardship. It's not something you always associate with interfaith dialogue, but when you think about it, it makes total sense.
It does. And if you think about it in the bigger picture, a lot of different faiths actually share a basic belief in humanity's responsibility to take care of the planet.
Yeah.
And the talks in Ein Rafa really emphasized this common ground.
Right.
They said it was ethically important to treat nature with respect
Right.
and to really work towards sustainability.
Yeah.
The religious leaders recognized that, environmental problems don't care about religious boundaries.
Right.
So they need people from different religions to work together, but they want to solve them.
It's about recognizing that we all share this one planet.
Yeah, we do.
It's our shared home.
Exactly.
And the last big theme was humanitarian efforts.
Right.
It sounds like they were really focused on finding practical ways for these communities to work together to actually help people.
That's right.
Which, you know, would have real benefits for everyone.
Absolutely. The focus was on moving past all the theoretical stuff and actually doing something.
Well,
so their talks centered around how different faith communities could come together to tackle big problems like poverty and lack of education and providing help during crises.
Right.
The main idea here is that wanting to help people who are suffering and wanting to promote basic human dignity.
Yeah.
Those are values that everyone shares, no matter what their religion is.
It goes beyond religion.
Yeah. And by working together, they can make a much bigger difference than if they just work on their own.
So this wasn't just some intellectual exercise.
Right.
It sounds like they were really serious about getting things done.
Exactly.
The report goes into detail about what they did during those 2 days.
Okay.
And it was a pretty full schedule.
Yeah, it was a really well-organized event designed to help people understand each other better.
Right.
And also to help them connect on a personal level.
Yeah.
The opening ceremony was super important because it set the tone by having representatives from each faith explain their core beliefs and those shared values that we were just talking about.
Right.
And then there were the workshops, which were really interesting.
Yeah.
They actually worked on breaking down those stereotypes that people have, which are often unconscious, and helping people get a more accurate understanding of what each religion really is.
Right.
They talked about things like strategies for building peace, the importance of compassion, and how the role of faith in society is changing.
Mm.
All those things are so important for building understanding.
Yeah, and then those discussion panels, where they brought together both religious leaders and regular people from the community, must have made for some really open and dynamic conversations.
They did.
You know, it's one thing to hear pronouncements from authority figures, but hearing from regular people probably brings in a whole different perspective.
It does.
Allowing for those real questions and maybe even some respectful challenges to assumptions. I think that's where real understanding often begins.
It is. It provides that back and forth where people can explore both the things they have in common and the little differences between their beliefs and really dig into how those shared values can actually be put into action in their communities.
Yeah. And then they also had prayer sessions, which they adapted to respect all the different traditions.
Right.
While still emphasizing that common goal of peace and understanding.
Yeah.
That was powerful.
It was. It's a real symbol of unity and diversity.
It is.
And then, of course, the community meal.
Yeah.
There's just something so special about sharing a meal with other people.
There is. It creates that informal atmosphere where people can connect. You just can't get that in a more formal setting.
Yeah. It's a chance for people to bond in a natural way.
Absolutely. Sharing food and having those casual conversations is such a basic human thing.
It is.
And it's really effective for building relationships and fostering respect between people on a human level.
It goes beyond just the religious stuff.
Exactly. And what's really encouraging is that they didn't just stop there.
Right.
They also organized more workshops.
Yeah.
And made plans to work together on different projects.
Right.
They're committed to staying involved.
Which is so important.
It is.
One event can be inspiring, but it's that ongoing effort that really solidifies the understanding.
Exactly.
The report also shared some really touching stories from people who were there.
Yeah.
Like Fatima's experience.
Okay.
She was hesitant at first, but then she realized they all share that common humanity.
Yeah.
And she even made friends with people from different faiths.
It's great.
It really shows how powerful these gatherings can be.
It does. Fatima's story really shows that human element.
Yeah.
That's at the heart of interfaith dialogue. Mm-hmm. She was nervous at first.
Right.
But then she realized they were all just people. Yeah. And then she ended up making these great friendships.
Yeah.
It shows how engaging with people directly can break down those preconceived notions that we all have.
And then there was David's story.
Okay.
He spent his whole life struggling with his own biases.
Mm-hmm.
And then he found this new sense of hope through the people he met at the event.
Wow.
It reminds us that it's never too late to learn and change our perspectives.
It's true.
that conversation he had with people from different generations seems really impactful.
Yeah, what's really interesting about David's experience
is that even someone who's held on to those deep-seated biases for a long time mm-hmm. can be really touched by these events
right.
and find new hope.
Yeah.
Especially when they're talking with younger people
right.
who often have fresh perspectives.
Right.
It shows that these gatherings can have a positive impact yeah. on people of all ages.
And then there was Alice, who was a religious studies student.
Yeah.
And she got this firsthand experience that yeah. really broadened her understanding. It yeah. just shows how these real world interactions mm-hmm. can make formal education so much richer.
They can.
And inspire people to do more work in this important field.
Alice's story really shows the connection mm-hmm. between studying something in school uh-huh. and actually experiencing it in real life.
Yeah.
Talking with religious leaders and other people who were there
right.
gave her a much deeper understanding yeah. than she could ever get from just reading textbooks.
Right.
And it inspired her to keep exploring interfaith dialogue yeah. in her studies.
It makes the whole idea come alive.
It does.
The report also emphasizes how important education is
right.
in making this kind of understanding more widespread.
Yeah. If we think about the bigger implications for society,
yeah.
teaching about different faiths in schools uh-huh. is crucial for helping young people understand
right.
all these different belief systems from a young age.
Right.
And that can be really effective in stopping stereotypes
yeah,
and right. fostering respect and empathy
yeah.
as they grow up.
It's about laying the groundwork for understanding.
It is.
And it's not just about what happens in school. Yeah. The report also mentioned regional and national programs,
right.
workshops, and seminars uh-huh. where they bring in speakers from different faiths uh-huh. to share their perspectives with a wider audience.
Right.
These programs are important because
yeah.
they go beyond just schools mm-hmm. and involve the whole community.
Right.
By offering all these different platforms for learning and talking openly.
They give people of all ages and backgrounds a
yeah.
chance
yeah.
to learn more about different religions
yeah.
and to build relationships
yeah.
with people from different faiths.
It's about making interfaith learning available to everyone.
It is.
And those community-based projects
yeah.
where people from different faiths actually work together.
Uh-huh.
That seems like a really effective way.
It is.
To build friendships based on real understanding
yeah.
and shared experiences.
It's learning by doing.
It is.
When people work together on something,
uh-huh.
whether it's a community garden
right.
or charity drive,
yeah.
they naturally start interacting.
Right.
And that breaks down social barriers.
Yeah.
These shared experiences
uh-huh.
create a strong foundation
yeah.
of trust and understanding
yeah.
that can be way more powerful than just talking about beliefs.
So looking ahead,
yeah.
what are some of the key steps the report suggests
okay.
for keeping this interfaith collaboration going?
What one importance
yeah.
is to have regular interfaith gatherings,
mm.
whether they're formal panel discussions
right.
or more informal meet and greets.
Right.
The main thing is to have them regularly.
That makes sense.
It keeps that dialogue going.
Yeah, it creates opportunities for connection.
Exactly.
And the idea of doing community service projects together.
Yeah.
That seems like a really practical way.
It is.
To put those shared values into action
yeah.
and make a difference.
When people from different faiths work together
mm-hmm.
on something that helps their community,
mm.
it shows that they're committed to the well-being of their community.
Yeah.
No matter what their religious differences are.
Right.
It's about showing unity through action.
And then there are those educational ventures, like
right.
interfaith courses and seminars
yeah.
and partnerships with schools and universities.
Yeah.
That's all about building knowledge and understanding for the future.
Right.
Making sure these principles get passed on to the next generation.
Investing in education.
Yeah. Is investing in the future of interfaith relations.
It is. And by giving people lots of opportunities
right.
to learn about and explore different faiths,
yeah.
we can give future generations the knowledge and skills
yeah.
they need
yeah.
to navigate this increasingly diverse and interconnected world.
It all comes down to that ongoing commitment, doesn't it?
It does.
It's not a one-time thing.
No.
It takes constant effort
yeah.
to really build that deep respect and understanding
right.
and cooperation.
It's a process, not a destination.
Exactly.
Oh. It takes a conscious and continuous effort
yeah.
to build those relationships, to keep those lines of communication open,
yeah.
and to look for chances to work together.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is.
This deep dive into the gathering in Ayn Rafa
oh, yeah.
really shows what's possible when people of different faiths come together
right.
and make a real effort to understand each other.
Exactly.
It's a powerful reminder
yeah.
that even when there's so much conflict and division,
that desire for peace and connection
yeah.
can create lasting change.
What's really interesting is how this small community
yeah.
in a really complex region
yeah.
has been able to create a model for how to do interfaith engagement well.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that working together
yeah.
can lead to greater harmony in society.
Right.
And that people can work towards common goals
yeah.
even if they have different religious beliefs.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm left thinking about all those principles we talked about,
yeah.
like active listening
right.
and finding common ground
uh-huh.
and really appreciating different perspectives.
Yeah.
These things aren't just relevant to interfaith dialogue.
No, they're not.
I think the real challenge and opportunity for you as a listener
mm-hmm.
is to think about how you can apply those same principles
right.
in yeah. your own life, in yeah. your own community,
yeah.
even in areas that have nothing to do with religion.
Mm-hmm.
How can you foster more understanding
yeah.
and better collaboration?
Mm. Simply by how you interact with people
mm.
who might have different views than you
right.
or come from different backgrounds.
Something to really think about.
It is.
Yeah.
That's a key takeaway from all of this.
I agree.
Okay. I think. Thanks for joining me for this deep dive.
It was great to be here.
Yeah, this was really interesting.
It was fascinating.
It was.
Yeah.
And until next time, stay curious.
Stay curious.
Keep exploring.
Keep exploring.